Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph. We begin a new topic in the Rambam, and that is called Amira La'akum, speaking to a non-Jew, instructing a non-Jew to do activities on Shabbos on behalf of a Jew. This is quite a big topic, so it is not to be learned in one day and in one week. It'll probably take 2 to 3 weeks to get this. And we're going to end up probably going through most of this book. It's got nice, brief, all the halachas of what you can tell a non-Jew and not a non-Jew, and I'll just bring out the main ideas here. So do me a favor, don't ask me, like, what if in this case and what if in that case, because there's a lot of principles we have to get through the first few days, and hopefully we'll get through everything from can you leave the car by the mechanic on Erev Shabbos and pick it up Matzah Shabbos and those kinds of questions.
Et cetera.
So we'll talk about it.
I asked about a year ago.
Okay, let's begin. Okay, we're on page 96 and 97. Osir loimar lenochri lasos lanu melocha b'shabbos afal pi she'enu mitzuva l'shabbos. It is forbidden, strictly forbidden, to tell a non-Jew to do for us a prohibited activity on Shabbos, even though a non-Jew is not commanded to keep the Shabbos. And moreover, for a non-Jew, it's prohibited for him to keep the Shabbos. And certainly a non-Jew can do whatever he wants. He can work whatever he wants.
Is he talking rabbinic or also? Hold on.
Okay. That is going to come in halacha test.
Okay.
All right? Right now, we're just going to take the straight halacha. So anything that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you cannot tell a non-Jew to do it for you on Shabbos. And that's number one. So you can't say it on Shabbos to do it on Shabbos. The afal pi sha'omer lo mikoidim, even if you tell him before Shabbos to do it for you on Shabbos, it's not allowed. Okay? Mikoidim Shabbos. V'afal pi she'en etzorach lo yisim aloch el alach ha-Shabbos. Or let's say tell him on Shabbos to do it, to do a malacha on Shabbos, but you don't need what he does for it till after Shabbos. I'm not even going to use it. So like the case, I'm going to ask him to fix my car on Shabbos, but I won't use it till after Shabbos. Okay. Yeah, right? So you can't tell him to fix it on Shabbos, for Shabbos, certainly not, right? Right? Yeah, you can't tell him before Shabbos to fix it on Shabbos, right? And you can't have him, do something that's for Shabbos even though you're not going to use it until after Shabbos. Okay? None of those things are allowed. Why? Now the Rambam is going to give you one reason, then we're going to speak out two more reasons. Okay? V'davar ze osur midivrei seifrim. This prohibition is rabbinic in nature. It's a rabbinic prohibition. Why did the rabbis make this prohibition? Kidei shalosia Shabbos kalo beinehem. We don't want people to perceive Shabbos as something not so important in our eyes. And then we'll do it ourselves. If you tell the non-Jew to turn the lights on for you on Shabbos, you're going to think it's not such a big deal to turn lights on Shabbos. And one day the non-Jew's not there. Imagine every day, every Shabbos, tell the Jew to put the lights on, right?
The non-Jew.
Tell him to put the lights on. And then one Shabbos he doesn't show up. And like you're expecting it. You need it. You're counting on it, right?
It's dark.
Right? So then you'll do it. Because it's already in your mind that lights go on Shabbos. You know, once I'm telling the non-Jew to put it on, how far away is it for me to put it on? Right? So therefore, it's to ensure that we won't eventually do the malachas that are not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Okay, now there's a whole discussion in the rabbi. If you look in the Mechilta, the Medrash, in Sefer Shmos, it talks about where do we get this idea from. So the Torah says, in Sefer Shmos, in Parshas Bo, it says, Kol malacha yo'asa b'hem. You don't do any work on these days. It says, Lo ye yo'asa b'hem, shall not be done on these days. So the question is, what exactly was prohibited? So many people learn that what's prohibited is just you and your friends aren't allowed to work. But the rabbis extend this to even include non-Jews, but it's like a remez, it's like a hint. It says, shouldn't be done. That means if the non-Jew does it for you, it's still, you know, be done. So even though it's not directly being saying that, but the rabbis, whenever they make a rabbinic enactment, it meant they want to find like some hint to it in the Torah, although it's not what God really said directly, but he's hinting to it, that if the rabbis see it fit to prohibit it, they would prohibit it as well. So that is the Rambam's opinion. So the reason why you can't tell a goy to do it is because invariably you will come to take the Shabbos lightly and you will transgress on Shabbos.
It's almost like Moksa.
Well, a lot of these rabbinic things all smack the same way, right? Moksa, if you touch this, you'll come to do a malacha. Similar concept. Rashi gives another reason for the prohibition, and it's based on the verse in Isaiah, where the prophet Yeshaya discusses how your activities on Shabbos should be markedly different than your activities during the week. And it says, like, your legs should walk differently on Shabbos than the rest of the week. We don't run on Shabbos. And also, it's and talking about things for after Shabbos you don't do, and planning, and also vidaber davor, and your speech has to be different. And meaning to say, you don't talk about, you know, things that you're not allowed to do after Shabbos on Shabbos. Your speech is a whole different speech. So from that idea of your speech being a different speech, so then you can't talk to a non-Jew to do something that's a prohibited activity. Because that's not the kind of talk that's for Shabbos. For Shabbos, you talk about non-work related activities. So even if you're not doing the work, and even not like the Rambam, even it's not because maybe you'll work, but the talk, you know, every day you tell Luigi to turn the lights on in the factory, right? So that's what you do on Shabbos, on the weekday. But on Shabbos, you don't tell Luigi to put the lights on. You don't talk about doing things that are not the kind of thing that should be done on Shabbos. It's more of a refinement of speech prohibition involved over there. Now, it's interesting, these two different reasons would suggest a difference. For example, we will learn, not now, but later, there is a concept, there are lenient opinions that allow people to hint certain things to a non-Jew. We'll have to discuss when that's allowed. A lot of people abuse that leniency. They think you can hint anything you want. Luigi, I really could use the lights on right now. You know, you can't just stop do that. It's for special circumstances. But in certain circumstances, when you're going to hint, at least certainly according to Rashi, then you're okay. Because not you're not really saying it. So that's an important thing. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he gives a third reason as to why you're not allowed to do this, and very simple. When a non-Jew, if you ask the non-Jew to do the work for you on Shabbos, so we have a concept, he's like your shaliach. He's your messenger. And a messenger is like the person who does it himself. So if you're asking Luigi to do it for you, then certainly it's as if you had done it on the Shabbos yourself. So those are the three reasons. Now it's interesting, these three reasons, so what? Which ones would we paskin like? So all three reasons are accepted by the authorities in halacha. So if any one of these three reasons would apply, then you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So let's go through three situations. You'll see according to which reason what would be permitted, but it will be us according to everybody. So let's say asking a non-Jew on Shabbos to do work for you on Shabbos. So that all three opinions would fit in, right? According to the Rambam, you may come on to do it yourself on Shabbos, because you're talking about on Shabbos. According to Rashi, it's not the way you speak. According to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, you know, if he's your agent, it's like you did it also on Shabbos. So that's clear, according to everybody. But how about to ask a non-Jew on Shabbos to do something for after Shabbos? You tell him, Luigi, after Shabbos, I want you to do the following for me. Well, the Rambam didn't really mention this as one of the reasons, because according to Rambam, that won't fit in, because you're not going to do the work on Shabbos, you're telling him to do it after Shabbos. According to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, even when he does it after Shabbos, he's your shliach after Shabbos, that's not a problem. According to Rashi, it's a problem, because you're not supposed to speak about these things on Shabbos. So that would make it prohibited under that. And finally, what about to ask a non-Jew during the week to do it on Shabbos? So Rashi's reason wouldn't apply because the talking was done before Shabbos. But the Rambam's reason, if you see the goy does it on Shabbos, you may come to do it on Shabbos. And if he's doing it, he's certainly a shliach for you, so according to Shulchan Aruch, the Yasser. So you see? So through all these three reasons, we're able to get all these things are usher for you. Now, we will see that all this applies only when you're asking the non-Jew to work for the Jew. Okay? Now, we will see that it is permissible to tell a non-Jew, even on Shabbos, for him to perform a malacha for himself on Shabbos.
For another non-Jew.
No, yeah, or for another non-Jew. You can tell a non-Jew you want to do something for yourself. You can do what you want for yourself. That's okay. But that only applies if the Jew doesn't instruct him to use his equipment for the job. Okay,
he can't. And he doesn't get any benefit.
Certainly, I can't get any benefit from it. When the Jew instructs him to use his equipment for the non-Jew's activity, it's considered like he's telling the guy to do it, right? Even though he's doing it for himself, it's usur. So you can't instruct him even during the week for the non-Jew to use it for his own benefit on Shabbos. What'll be an example? So you can't tell a non-Jewish neighbor on or before Shabbos that he can mow his own lawn on Shabbos with the Jew's lawnmower. The non-Jew says, I want to borrow your lawnmower. Okay, I'll let you use my lawnmower on Shabbos. I use it 6 days a week. I don't need it on Shabbos. Right? So I'll let you use it on Shabbos. So you can't let him use it on Shabbos because you've told him to do this. But he can tell the non-Jew, go do your own lawn with your own lawnmower.
So if a non-Jewish person is staying in your house, you can't say you can cook yourself up your own breakfast.
That's going to be a big problem. Well, there's many problems for using your utensils.
Okay.
That's going to be a problem anyway. It's going to trafe up your pots. Okay. Got me on that one. Okay. His pot, your stove. Okay. Since still using your stove is not allowed, right?
Lending a non-Jew your car.
Yeah.
Lending a non-Jew your car. Couldn't do that. Even if he's doing it for his own needs, he needs to go to the hospital for himself or whatever. He needs to go to work. And he says, do me a favor, lend me your car. What?
You gave it to him on Friday to have it for the weekend.
Well, you're still, it's like telling him before Shabbos he could use it on Shabbos.
What benefit are you getting?
It has nothing to do with the benefit. Right? It's nothing to do with the benefit. But it's like he is working. You've instructed him. He's using your thing. Right? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, and Mishnah Berurah's comments, he says that since this thing that he tells a non-Jew to do for himself, right, he himself can't do it, you yourself can't do it. So it's included in things that are not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do, even though you don't get hanah from it, because you can't do it. So that might bring yourself to doing that. You understand? So it's getting close enough that since it's your thing, right?
You
might use your own thing.
Your car is usable on Shabbos.
That's right. So you might come to use it. So even if you let him use it before Shabbos, you can't do it.
If you rent a car for a week, you could use it.
Okay, so if you're a car rental agency, that can be all kinds of issues.
That too.
That's why in all these issues, you have to have non-Jewish partners. All these areas. A lot of these areas, you have to have non-Jewish partners. All right, we'll get into more details. You can email me all your questions, and I'll sort them out. When we come to the right halacha, I'll do the question. But that's a very important
thing. So many times at Westman, we've asked the janitors to lower the blinds.
Okay, so there's all kinds of leniencies. That's what I'm saying. We're jumping the gun here. We have to know there's all kinds of special extenuating circumstances, etc. We'll see there's extenuating circumstances for a congregation if people will be in pain. There's all kinds of leniencies. We don't just flagrantly tell the goy to do it or not to do it. There's a big leniencies for a congregation and for a mitzvah. And you have to know if it's only rabbinic, biblical. There's all kinds of things that we have to still thrash through. And we're just on the first halacha. So okay, it opens up a lot of ideas, but these are the basic ideas that we're correct on. Now we have to understand why we're allowed to do what we can do, and there's a number of things they can do, but we have to get through the rules. So that's at least the first concept. So it comes that you can't tell a Jew to do something on Shabbos. I'm gonna have a problem with this, I can see already. You can't tell a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos, for Shabbos, before Shabbos, on Shabbos, for after Shabbos, right? You could tell them before Shabbos for after Shabbos. Shabbos. That you could tell them. Yeah. That you could tell them. And you can tell a non-Jew to do his own work for himself, but provided he's not using your equipment. Right? That's what we have so far. Okay? Halacha Beis. Nochri she'osam. Now, this is all you telling a non-Jew. What if the non-Jew does it on his own? What's going to happen then? You didn't say anything to him, but your lucky day. He's doing something that will benefit you. So what happens then? So Nachri Shasam Malacha Me'atzim B'Shabbes. A Nachri, a non-Jew on his own decided to do something on Shabbos, and it will help you. So now it depends on what was in the mind of the non-Jew. So Im Bishvil Yisrael Osa Oisa. If he did it specifically for the Jew. There could be a number of reasons why he's doing it. He could be your worker, and he knows that it's beneficial for you. But he's mamish doing it primarily, if not entirely for you. Osir, you cannot derive benefit, and we'll see many commentaries say even another Jew who wasn't even done for him also cannot benefit from that. Osir lehanas ba'osa malacha, you can't have benefit from this work ad matzah Shabbos, until matzah Shabbos. And we add one more thing. And we have to wait the time it would take to do it until after Shabbos for you to be allowed to do it. Right? So now we got a lot to just, and now there's going to be an exclusion in a minute, but we're already bitten off more than we can chew. Okay. So this benefit is prohibited. Okay. Whether the Jew told the non-Jew to do it or he hinted to it, even if he did it on his own initiative, you can't. The rabbis prohibited benefit, so you'll never come to transgress again. If the non-Jew does it for you today, and it was good, what's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to ask him to do it, right? What if he does it 3 days in a row? Again, same, 3 Shabbos in a row, right? So you're going, hey, you know, it's not bad. So again, you're going to come to ask him. So again, anything that will come. So since we prohibit you to have any benefit, even when the non-Jew did it on his own, but it was for your benefit. So therefore, the rabbis have effectively removed any incentive for you to ever want to ask the non-Jew to do it for you. Because even when he does it on his own, but it's for you, right? You know it's for you. We'll discuss this in a minute, how we can tell this. Then that is not allowed to have benefit from that. Now, then we have to now define 3 types of benefits and see what's exactly prohibited and what's exactly not prohibited. So number one is called a direct benefit. A direct benefit which is directly produced by the action itself. And the Rambam is going to give you that in Halacha Gimel. For example, turning on a light. He comes into your house, he sees it's dark, he knows you need a lit room. He's not doing it for himself at all. He just walks in, turns on the lights.
And he leaves.
Done. Right? So the light is the direct benefit of kindling the light. Or let's say he cooks food for you on Shabbos, raw food for you, cooks it on Shabbos. It's a direct benefit. So that's number one. And we'll see that is for sure also.
So you have to leave the room?
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, we'll have to see what the situation is over there. We'll see, but certainly, you know, you can't benefit from that. Next category is called indirect benefit, where the benefit's not the product of the malacha itself, but a byproduct of it. Where the malacha, let's say, will remove an obstacle to the use of something. For example, let's say the lights are on in your bedroom, right? So now, he turns off the lights. Okay, so putting out the light in the bedroom, you know, does not directly enable a person to sleep. Now, putting on the light in a dark room enables a person to see because of what he did. Having the light on, it doesn't really put you to sleep. It just removes the light, which up to now had made it difficult for you to sleep. So if the non-Jew decides on his own to turn off the light, that already would be something you could benefit from. Because it's not a direct benefit. Remember, the direct benefit, he turns the light on. So the malacha, what does it do? It gives you the light, and that's mamish what you need. He cooks food for you. He cooks on Shabbos, and you need the food, and you eat the food. Here he turned off the light. That doesn't make you sleep. I mean, It helped, but it's an indirect benefit.
That's without a hint. You couldn't hint.
This is so we'll talk about that. We'll have to talk about that.
We're saying on his own accord.
So far, we're talking about on his own accord. There's a third one called additional benefit. And let's say where a malach, it's a benefit produced by a malach in a situation where that benefit was already available to some extent before the malacha was done. And now what the goy does just makes it easier to do something which could have been done anyway. Here is one of the leniencies for Westmount, but there's many. But one is, let's say you have an already lit room and he puts on some more lights. Okay, so let's say we have one of the classrooms, all the shades are up. It's light enough, you could see. But if he puts the lights on, right?
It's not pitch black.
So, yeah, I mean, you could see each other, you could see everything, you know, but it's a lot better if the lights are on, right? So that's an additional benefit, all right? So, because you already can use it, but it just makes it better. So the rabbis only prohibited benefit from a malacha done by a non-Jew for a Jew on Shabbos if it's new and direct. That's the first category, like we said. But if they don't prohibit the use if it was indirect or an additional benefit, right? Even additional benefit, even if it is direct. He put the light on, but you already have light in the room, right? But you still can't tell a non-Jew to do a malacha to produce. You can't tell him. We're talking if he does it on his own. So let's give him a couple of examples. Let's say a non-Jew turns on a light in a dark room for the benefit of a Jew. She can't read in that room or derive any other use from the light since that light is new and direct. It's a dark room, really dark room. You can't see in that room. He turns it on and now you're going to want to read in that room? So that you can't do? If a non-Jew cooks water for a Jew, Jew can't use that water to make tea, since he'd be deriving new and direct benefit from that action that happened. All right. On the other hand, as you mentioned, if a non-Jew turns off the light in a bedroom, so darkness remains as the result of that. Now you can sleep there because it didn't create anything new. But again, you cannot initially instruct the Gentile to turn off the lights.
So why would he do it?
Because, you know, it's the cleaning lady, the nanny's there 6 days a week, right? So she knows. So in other words, you could have them if they know that they know the routine.
Yeah, okay.
You know, they know the routine. They're the Shabbos goy. They know you like the lights off.
Right.
At the end of Shabbos, you know, you want all the lights off in the house, and they've been there for 35 years. I mean, they know the routine. You're not telling them anything. They know to turn off the lights. You want the lights off, and that's all.
But you told me once.
Not even telling them, but they know it's the end of the day. The light should be off. You know. So that's already a different story. Now, here's the other example over here. So let's say a room was dimly lit, right? Now the non-Jew turns on more light so that you could see better. So since that was already partially illuminated the room, the extra light is considered only an additional benefit. So the new light can be used to read more comfortably to what you could have read, although it would have been more difficult without the additional light. Let's say you could still read it, though. That's very important. Let's say I could read it, but I'd have to squint, and I'd read a little bit slower. And now with the lights, it goes a lot easier. But you can't read what you couldn't have read before. If you couldn't read the fine print with the shades drawn open, and now they put the light on, now that's produced a new indirect benefit. Now I can read fine print. Or let's say the room was already lit by faint natural daylight and the non-Jew turns on an electric light in the room. You can benefit because if you could have already read and done things in that. Now, here's another interesting point though. But what if let's say you had the shades were up, lights coming in at 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's what I was wondering. It's gonna get darker.
Okay? And then he puts the lights on. And then later on it gets dark from the natural light, right? So then you can no longer derive benefit from that new illumination that the non-Jew provided for you, since that is producing a new as opposed to
an added
benefit.
Had he not turned it on, it would have been too dark to read.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's clear. Yeah?
So if your bedroom is brightly lit, and the non-Jew comes by and then flips lights, which enables you to sleep, which you couldn't have done with the lights on, is that not a direct benefit?
That's not a direct benefit, because you don't turning on a light does not make you fall asleep. But putting on a light in a dark room. You couldn't. You cannot read. The light goes on. You can read.
You can sleep with the light
you
on.
You can sleep with the light on. It's a little more difficult.
Done it once.
Right? It's a little more difficult, but it's not like lights out puts you to sleep. If human beings worked that when the lights were out, you immediately fell asleep, then it wouldn't be allowed. But that's not how human beings work. The light goes off. Okay, now it's easier to fall asleep, right? But I don't fall asleep with the lights going out.
So, Rabbi,
that doesn't happen.
In that case, it's not just a matter of turning off as opposed to turning on. It's more the indirect nature.
It's the indirect benefit that's happening there. Exactly.
Is there not a distinction between turning off and turning on as well? Or is
it? No, I really wouldn't. If there was a direct benefit to turning off the light, then you wouldn't be allowed to use it. If there was a direct benefit, it's very...
If you're hiding something... And they want
okay,
you
maybe.
Turn the light off, then you
playing
couldn't
hide
find it anymore.
Yeah. Maybe
what
you couldn't
the
play hide
benefit
and see.
That your bill, your electricity bill is lower.
That's
immaterial.
That's indirect. It's indirect. It's what you're paying later. It's what you're paying later. Don't do that. Okay, let's try to finish up this halacha at least. Okay, now so what did we say now? So you can't use it, but you could use. But so if he did it for you, so what about these cases where he did put the light on for you? He did cook something for you. He did it. You didn't ask him, but he did it for you. So you can't enjoy it. So when can you enjoy? You can enjoy it much as Shabbos, after the time it takes to cook it. But there's still one more provision that has to exist. For who? And that's under, when are you able to use it after Matzah Shabbos even? If you don't have this, then you have a problem. Who shaloi had dover b'far hesher. The non-Jew didn't do it publicly. Achiyedu b'rabim shadover z'bishvil ploni hu nasa Shabbos. It shouldn't be so public that everyone knows the non-Jew did it for the Jew on Shabbos. Because if that's the case, then you never can use it. They're going to give a good example later on. We'll get to it tomorrow. Let's say the non-Jew made a coffin for a Jew on Shabbos.
A coffin.
To be buried. Not coffee. Coffin. Right? He made a coffin on Shabbos. And in the middle of Bathurst Street. He said, I'm making Schwartz's coffin. What are you doing? I'm making Schwartz's coffin. Right? He died yesterday. They told me he's getting buried on Sunday. The first coffin will get the Parnassa, right? I don't know. Yeah, I'm making it for Schwartz. Okay? And everybody knows it's Schwartz's coffin. So it's going to be a big bizarre. I'm going to say, see that coffin? The one he's buried for the rest of his life? A goy made it on Shabbos. Right? So that, you could not, even after the time it takes to make the coffin after Shabbos, you can't use it. We'll discuss that when we get to it. But now we have another case, though. But im bishvil atzmo, what if the non-Jew did it 100% just for himself? But he did it for himself, but it happens to also give you benefit. Direct benefit. Mutar. You're allowed to have pleasure from that. Lehanas v'b'shabbos, not have pleasure from that Shabbos. And the classic case that the Gemara gives, which the Rambam will give us, they tell us a story that Rabbi Gamliel and the elders were on a boat and they were traveling well before Shabbos, and then finally the boat docked on Shabbos and the non-Jew made for him a ramp from the boat onto dry land, which no one's allowed to make a ramp on Shabbos. Now the Goy, why did he make the ramp? Because the Goy wanted to disembark from the boat. He did it for himself. He couldn't care less if there were Yidden there. But once he put the thing down, the Yidden can use it too. But he didn't have the non-Jews in mind at all. Now, from the Rambam, many are medayik, it says, v'mishvil atzmo bilvat. He did it only for himself. Meaning if he thought to do it for himself and also for the Jews, then perhaps it would be prohibited. But only for himself, then it's okay. Let's just look at one more halacha, then we'll call it a night. Under certain circumstances, yeah, it depends when it got in, yeah. So number one, if the non-Jew did it for his own use, the Jew can get benefit. So let's say a non-Jew turns a light on in a dark room because the non-Jew wants to read the newspaper. Right? So let's say you have a nanny who wants to read the paper in the den. And you forgot to put the lights on in the den. So she goes in the den. She puts the lights on. She reads the paper in the den. So you can go in the den too. She's doing it for herself, and you certainly can enjoy that.
Can you keep doing it after she's left?
Why not? Yeah, for sure, that's fine, because it was done for themselves only. So you could take benefit. You didn't tell them. They weren't doing it for you. We put the light on. So fine, so you could enjoy it. Now, if the non-Jew performs a malacha both for his use and the use of the Jew, right, but it was primarily for his own use. Now, this is interesting. From the Rambam, it appeared to be osur, right? And Taka, the Mishnah Brura, writes in the Mishnah Brura that the non-Jew does for himself and the Jew, it's osur. But then in the Ber Halacha, he goes into a whole spiel and says, if one wants to rely on that for your use, we wouldn't protest. So if the non-Jew puts the light on in the den for himself and for you, but for sure for himself too, but he knows it's going to benefit you, we say you can be lenient and you can make use of that, because we still would assume that the primary consideration was still for the non-Jew himself. So you're allowed to have benefit from
they
that.
They want to boil some water for themselves for tea?
What?
They want to boil some water for tea for themselves or something?
We'll see. Cooking is a different story. We'll have to see. So again, that's the example, right? And so even though the non-Jew knows when he puts the light on that the Jew will be able to read in the room, it's considered for his own benefit and the Jew can derive benefit. Now, the fact of the matter is, in these cases that the Jew can benefit from the non-Jew's work, a Jew can tell him not to undo the malacha, since the malacha will, because no malacha is going to be performed at his request. So let's say the non-Jew turned on the light for himself to read. Now the Jew says, you know, that's so
don't
nice you did that,
you
don't turn it off when you leave. Exactly. So you can tell him that. Why? Because I'm not telling him to do anything. He turned it on his own volition. Can I enjoy it? 100%. You're afraid he's going to turn it off afterwards, right? So now what do? So you tell him, please don't turn it off. So the classic case, so what do you do, for example? Let's say you've got a lot of food in your storage room, right? And you need food in the storage room. Or let's say you've got food in the refrigerator and you left the light on in the refrigerator. So you could tell the non-Jew, we'd have to know exactly what the case is over here. So you tell the non-Jew, you know, I've got some real good whiskey in the fridge. Would you like some? He says, yeah, I'd like some. Help yourself. You know what I'm saying? Yes. I got a lot. You need the lights on in the storage room in the basement. Didn't leave them on. So I got some real good whiskey in the basement. So you want? Sure, go. Oh, it's pretty dark here. Well, you know, can you find it? You know, I guess I'll put the light on. Oh, okay. You want to put the light on? Go ahead, put the light on. So the non-Jew did it for himself, 100% for himself, right? So now he's got it on. He said, you know, now that you got the light on. You know what happens? You don't say this line. When the non-Jew's finished, he turns it off right when he leaves. But now he's like, okay, now the light's on. You know, maybe you could leave it on, please.
And I can't find that whiskey.
You only offered him the drink so he could turn the light on.
But why is he doing it?
But why did you offer him the
that drink? Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
Because your agenda was to get the light on.
So fine. But he was doing it just for himself. Since he was doing it just for himself,
but you wouldn't have told him to go get a drink if you don't.
Okay, doesn't matter. It's okay. Yeah. Listen.
But his perspective is that he's doing it for himself.
Yeah, everything is. I didn't tell him to do it. Did I tell him to do it? I didn't tell him to turn the light on at all. Is he turning the light on for me?
Your intention is to get the light on.
But again, is he doing it for me? No, he's doing it for himself. So, okay, so this is where halacha allows you to, you know.
What a loophole.
It fits all the criteria. Right? Just like klish lishi, right? Able to warm up tea in a klish lishi. It's hot. The rabbis say it's not hot. So
opening the fridge, isn't that
okay,
using...
Okay, so opening the refrigerator, it's more complicated.
Isn't that
so
using your utensils?
We'll leave it. Well, what about the light? It's not your light either, so we'll have to see. You know, there's malach and there's malacha. You know, there's indirect, there's direct. Like turning on a car is turning on a car. Opening the fridge, you're not really turning a light on when you're opening the fridge. No one opens a fridge to turn on a light.
So we can do it?
You can't, but a non-Jew could. You know, understand what I'm saying? Like you could tell a non-Jew, for example, you could tell a non-Jew to get something out of the fridge for you.
You could.
Well, it's not usher to take anything out of the fridge.
Give me a glass of water.
The fact that the light goes on, that's not the real thing that he's doing. For you, it's a psik resha, but for the non-Jew, can get it. That's not a problem. Easy. That's not the real malach. It's not the light. What is he doing? He's taking something out of the fridge. It's a side problem. For side problems, we don't.